Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Oh yeah, PJ Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? We are back at it yet again, and this time for some postseason ball. You know it. It's the DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. You can follow the Fantasy Authority on Twitter and X at FF underscore authority. We're here breaking down the NFL DFS wildcard picks. Ryan Williams here at Ryan Alexander underscore W on Twitter and X, and the godfather himself, Mr. Kevin Steele. You already know what it is, at Fantasy Wrath 13 on Twitter and X. Kev, we took a week off for the people, but we're back at it to do some wild card NFL DFS. I'm excited to get back in the lab with you, brother. But how you feeling? How you doing? We're breaking down this from a six-game perspective, right? We usually should have probably talked about that ahead. But, you know, I miss the days when it was just, you know, a six-game slate, but it was 2 days. Now we got a six-game slate over 3 days. We got a wild way to start the slate on Saturday as well too. So it's going to be a fun one to break down. But Kev, talk to the people. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Doing good. It's I will say it's weird that I don't have the Chiefs in it for the first time in forever. But
yeah,
you know, you can't get there every year. But it is what it is on that. But I will say there's a lot of really good games this weekend. As far as it being 3 days, like I don't think there's going to be a lot of people playing people from the Texans and Steelers game. So like it does feel more like a 2 day slate, because that last game feels kind of gross. Overall, there's some really good games. I mean, I think the Jaguars and Bills game is probably gonna be the one that everyone's gonna be attracted to because it has the highest total. You know, you have Josh Allen on that side. You have Trevor Lawrence and how well that offense has been playing. Two defenses that aren't great. Like they're not bad, but they're not like elite defenses that we have on some of these other games. And then I think the Eagles and 49ers game is probably the other one that I think people are going to look to attack. I think those two games stand out, but I think there's some other places you can get to as well.
Oh, I mean, yeah, this is a weird one, Kev. Like, you know, I'm really excited for this postseason. You kind of alluded to it. I mean, no, this is no Patrick Mahomes, this is no Tom Brady, no Peyton Manning since 1998. Like, I feel like we're just coming into a different era of you know, football, I guess, new regime. And, you know, I really have no idea. Like, I don't know. I mean, I have some preseason, like, picks. I think I have, like, a Buffalo Bills 49ers, like, ticket that's still alive for the Super Bowl, but like don't really feel good about either of those teams right now. Like it really feels wide open. So I'm really excited to see like how this plays out. Cause even with like the number one seeds, you know, who aren't on the slate, like I don't know, you know, what's gonna happen with them and if I feel really confident about who a winner would be. So, you know, I'm really excited to see how this is. We do have some injuries that, you know, might affect the slate a little bit, but you know, for the most part, I think, you know, these teams are trying to be full systems go. So we got that six game slate, as you alluded to, Kev, two games on Saturday, three games on Sunday, and that Monday night hammer. You know, I think there will be exposure from the defensive side of the ball, at least from that late night hammer. You know, everybody always wants to see, you know, see some PMR, see some stuff remaining, make pivots and see how it goes. But, you know, Kev, let's just dive right in and break it down for the people. You know, it's funny that they decided to start with the Rams, you know, a Carolina game just to kick off Saturday football. It always felt like, you know, the Houston Texans belong in that spot on Wild Card Weekend. Like, I just always felt like the Saturday game, first game, was going to be Houston or going to be the Chargers. But, you know, doesn't happen that way. And we have a lot more viewing options, right, for the people, all the streaming options, and now that are affected, and kind of change things up of who's going to get what matchup. But, you know, the Rams, with their team total coming in at 29.4, and they start the slate off, like, I just am trying to figure out how high owned these Rams pieces are going to be, you know, because this is a tale of oldest time. Like, we talk about it with the Houston teams in the past, like, do you start out, you know, how do you start out the slate? Are you going to start out and say, okay, six game slate's done, I'm just playing showdown on Saturday night, and I'm playing the Sunday slate, and I'll just roll on to Monday because you know that your teams are dead? But like, you really could have some really, you could have some solid teams start off the bat if the Rams are able, you know, to do what they've been doing, and they're going to get Davante Adams back. Like, Matthew Stafford is just like, he's just been on a tear. I mean, he's, you know, probably going to get the MVP, right? Like, Sean McVay has made it such a point in the regular season to, like, you know, have them force feed these receivers and just do everything in the offense. And, you know, this is a Carolina team. They're going against a Carolina team that, you know, I expect them to want to get revenge on. You know, that game was insane when this two teams matched up in the regular season. A lot of red zone blunders for the Rams, weren't able to capitalize. And just, you know, one of the weeks that people just died in survivor pools because thought it was a gimme. So they're opening up here on the road. I think Matthew Stafford definitely is in conversation, right, at 6,900. Like, you definitely have to make a consideration if you're going to fade or choose him. And then, you know, as we look through the rest of the slate, Kev, I wish, you know, these matchups are just so weird. Like, I do like some of these teams, but it's like, how much do I like them in order to, like, stack them up? Like, the next guy would probably be, you know, Josh Allen that we talk about. He's 7K, but he's going against Jacksonville. Like, Jacksonville has actually been hot. Like, do I want to play Josh Allen, who I don't know who to stack him with necessarily, or do I want to play Trevor Lawrence on one of the, you know, hottest teams in the NFL from an offensive standpoint with what Liam Cohen's been going, and this defense for Buffalo doesn't scare you at all? You know who the stacking partners are pretty much with Trevor Lawrence, who make it fun to, you know, build teams around. It's also pretty decent matchup for the running back, which we'll talk about later, but Trevor Lawrence is definitely one who I have circled. I think, you know, the other game that's going to be intriguing to me is probably this Philadelphia and San Francisco game. I mean, you know, the way you'd probably want to play it would be Jalen Hurts at 6,300 because of how explosive this Philly offense can be. They've just teetered so many times through the course of the season. But I mean, AJ Brown finds himself in a good spot. Devonta Smith finds himself in a good spot. Dallas Goddard's been coming on as of late. Like, this Philly offense could really get going. They're just under 26 implied points there. You know, Brock Purdy on the other side, I know a lot was made of him. I'm curious to see how the feed treats him. You know, Trent Williams is going to be out. San Francisco, you know, they lay an egg, you know, basically against Seattle to end the season, you know, on a slate where, you know, from a DFS standpoint, right, Kev, like, San Francisco, that game was so highly targeted and it just disappointed. So, you know, people were left in the dust if you kind of attack this offense. And now they're going against Vic Fangio and company. Like, it could be tough sledding for the 49ers. So, it you know, that I'm interested in that game, but probably, you know, from a one-sided approach. Kev, I'll toss it to you because I do feel like, you know, I do want to play around. It's a six-game slate, right? This isn't like the Thanksgiving slate or the Christmas slate where, you know, we do have multiple areas to choose from. I do want to look at the two other games of Green Bay, Chicago, and the Chargers in New England. I think that the Chargers in New England game is really sneaky to me. If Herbert's hand is not going to bother him or hinder him as such, I really think that we could, you know, potentially see fireworks in that one. I think two you know, two coaches on the other side who tend to be a little bit conservative, but it's a wild card matchup. So maybe we see them get a little more aggressive in this spot. I think there's really interesting pieces on both sides from playmaking standpoint that people won't be on. I like that game from a GPP perspective. And then, you know, the weather is going to keep, I'm curious to see where ownership comes in on Green Bay and Chicago, because I think there's going to be one extremely chalky piece from that game at the running back position. I think it does set up well for, you know, the running backs on the other side for Chicago. But, you know, I mean, Caleb and Jordan Love, you know, if you can get this the stack partner right, they could really pay off their salaries at 5,300 and 5,600, you know, on the slate. If we don't, you know, have if we don't have Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford going bananas, like, you could, you know, you just want to, you know, hit on that guy. So I haven't really figured out the slate yet. I do think that my two, you know, if I was doing three max as I normally do in the season, Kev, I think it would definitely be, you know, getting to Stafford, getting to Jalen Hurts for sure on two teams. And then I'm probably going to play around with that third team of, like, do I like, you know, a Chargers, New England, or Green Bay and Bears build on that third build and see what plugs in. How are you attacking the slate from the quarterback position, Kev, and what are you liking?
Well, I think, like I said, I mean, I think there's a couple different thoughts here on a way to attack it. Because I know, I mean, it's six games. There's a little bit more than your typical, you know, two or three gamer. But at the same time, I feel like there's also game environments you can kind of cross off, right? Like, I feel like Steelers and Texans, the Texas defense is just so incredibly good. I just don't see the Steelers being able to do a lot in that game. And so, like, that game, like, I'm not saying, like, you couldn't get any pieces from it. But I think overall, I think maybe trying to find, like, two of your favorite games, like, really overstacking, you know, those games might be the way to go on a slate like this, because we're going to see a lot of ownership come in on pretty much a couple different spots, right? Right now, ownership looks like Josh Allen is hovering around 45% ownership at, you know, at his cost at 7K. That's and then, crazy, you know, from Jalen Hurts is, you know, the second guy at 22%. Then everybody else is pretty much 10% or below. On this slate. And so I think there's some different ways to go. You know, we'll have to see, you know, how ownership looks from there. But like I've said, I think Stafford is so interesting because it's a little bit tougher because he is expensive. He's 6,900. But Stafford has been really good this year. I mean, he leads the league in passing yards this year, has a ridiculous 7.7% touchdown rate. And, you know, for context, he's now thrown two or more touchdowns in 15 of 17 games this year. And he's thrown three touchdowns in 9 of the 17 games. And so it's also, when it comes to him, it's easier to be able to get him right in terms of stacking partners, where a lot of these quarterbacks, it's not that simple. Like Josh Allen, do you just play him naked? Because generally speaking, he doesn't really take anybody with him. You don't really have a lot of guys that go off when he gets there. Generally, whenever Josh Allen gets there, it's on the ground. The guy has 14 rushing touchdowns this year. Generally speaking, if he's going to have a nuclear game, it's usually because he's spreading the ball around and he's getting there on the ground. And so then when you have someone like Trevor Lawrence, it's kind of the same thing. He has 9 rushing touchdowns this year. He's really come on in that department. And, you know, we've seen time and time again, he generally doesn't bring a lot of players with him and along with him. And so, like, if you're looking to stack that game, it also makes it a little bit tougher to stack because who are you stacking him with? And so a lot of these games are like that, like where it's much tougher, where Stafford, it's pretty cut and dry. If you're going to stack him, it's going to be with Puka. It's going to be with Devontae Adams. You might get a little bit cute and throw in like a Tyler Higbee or something like that. But overall, like, it's a much easier stack to get to. Now, and also, like, it is a great matchup for Stafford because Carolina does play cover three at the highest rate in the league, nearly 50% of the time. And he has absolutely shredded cover three. And so is Puka Nacua. And so I will say when it comes to that, like, it stands out as a good play there. And so, but it is more expensive to get to Stafford. But right now, Stafford's not carrying any ownership going into this weekend. And I do think that's a little bit of a mistake because this offense, this passing offense, can easily get there. And Stafford can easily put up, you know, 28 to 30 points and have a score that you absolutely need.
Oh, yeah.
No, so I think things start with him, in my opinion.
100%, Kevin. And that's what makes it so fun for the six-game slate is, like, you know, you play them, and then you see how many people have them and what you need to get right. Because, you know, if he goes out and, you know, he gets 30, right, he's bringing somebody along with him, you guess right, you're feeling really good. Like, we don't need to necessarily, like, we have six games, and it's going to elude for so many, you know, people to think about so many different options. And, oh, I want to get this player on the team, or this, you know, this player I don't want to miss out on. But it's like, no, just go for the offense that you think is going to put up. And chances are, like, we're not going to get many offenses putting up 30 this weekend. I know what the implied team totals are saying, but, like, you know, these teams are in it for a reason. They're pretty evenly matched. Like, I would be shocked if we had more than four teams go over 30 points this week, Kev, like, in my opinion. So, like, if I'm thinking from that standpoint, like, I just want to target the offenses that I feel are going to do that. And the Rams clearly are one of that. And when you think about it, Kev, it's like, when you have six teams, right, you have we have these options, or six games, 12 teams, people are, you know, if you go out and get, you know, whatever it is, 100 point plus from, you know, the three expensive guys for the Rams, who cares? Like, then you're just figuring out the rest of your team. Like, you already have 100 points. You're set up for success. You're probably going to have some of the highest scores on the slate, and who is going to be targeting all these high priced guys, right? So don't think about, you know, not overstacking still on a six game slate. I still think, like, those could be, you know, onslaughts could still be the way to bring it home for sure. And like you said, the target share is what it is. You know, I think it gets interesting a little bit with the tight end position. That's been a little bit annoying. I think Ferguson's going to be active maybe, but, you know, or, you know, and Higbee's in there, and Parkinson's what he's been doing. But, you know, as long as you get Stafford throwing for, you know, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns, you're going to feel good about it with the two primary guys. Where else are you looking, Kev?
Yeah, so I think, like, talking through some of these other game environments, like, for example, like the New England and Chargers game, I don't know what we're to really make of that game, because, like, one, the Chargers defense, I don't think gets enough respect. Like, mm-hmm. Their defense has been phenomenal this year. Like, they are the reason that this team is in the playoffs right now, in my opinion. With all the issues that the Chargers have had with their offensive line, and injuries they've had, you know, to Marion Hampton at times, and, like, everything that's went wrong, like, it's been their defense that's kept them in it. And, like, their defense does, like I said, they allow the second fewest fantasy points per game, or DraftKings points per game, to opposing quarterbacks this year. They've allowed the second fewest. And honestly, like, the Patriots really, you know, and I know there's the narrative, and I'm not saying I think the Patriots are, like, frauds or anything like that, but, like, they really haven't been tested against many, like, great defenses this year. They have had the easiest schedule in the league this year. And so, like, you do wonder, against a defense like this, like, can they get going? I feel like that you're going to see the Patriots try to keep the ball on the ground and try to run the ball a lot. And, you know, use play action and stuff like that against this Chargers team. And so we'll see on that, like, how, but I think that game could go under and doesn't really get there from a fantasy perspective per se. And then I think that, you know, looking at some of these other games, I look at, One game that does worry me is the Eagles and 49ers game is another one, because we know that, like our Brock Purdy, if we haven't figured it out by now, like, if you can get pressure on Brock Purdy, he is going to have trouble, because it's time and time again, like, he is that guy. Like, if you get pressure on Brock Purdy, he is going to fold. And that's what worries me, because this Philadelphia defense also has been incredible, especially recently. I think over the last five games, they've allowed the second fewest schedule adjusted fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Like, this defense has been really good. And, you know, you are going to have some pieces missing from this 49ers team. This team is extremely banged up. Like, it feels like a game where Philadelphia could really just manage this on the ground. Saquon gets there, and, you know, they don't really have to open up the offense as much. They lean on the defense. And so, like, you start talking through some of these spots here, like, I think it's a little bit easier to narrow some of this down a little bit. Because, like, I think at the end of the day, I think Jacksonville in that Buffalo game has probably the highest rate of getting there. I will say that because Buffalo's defense has struggled a lot on the ground. They can be had through the air. Jacksonville's defense, if you look over the last five games, it's going to look, you're like, oh man, oh, this defense has been awesome. But if you look at the teams they played, they really haven't played any great offenses through that. And so, like, I think this game could be the one that sets up to really go off. The weather is phenomenal. It's supposed to be like five mile an hour wind, 70 degrees, sunny. You know, it's at noon. And so, like, you're not going to have to worry about anything with that. But I think that game sets up really well. But the one that I think could get sneaky is Green Bay-Chicago, because I know this is the third time these two teams have faced each other this year, but Chicago's defense is bad. Like, it is not good. They cannot get a pass rush to save their life. They give up explosives all over the field, and that sets up really well for what Green Bay does well. Green Bay wants to run the ball. Josh Jacobs is finally healthy. Josh Jacobs this week said that this is the best his knee has felt in weeks. They gave him the time off. He's barely played at all over the last month of the season, so he should be ready to go. And then you have Christian Watson, who I think is an incredible play. But, you know, Jordan Love, you know, has these games where he can just go off and get super and go nuclear. And so I think that, you know, Jordan Love, Christian Watson, I also think on the other side of that game, though, because Green Bay also struggles to get a pass rush, especially since losing Micah Parsons. And so, like, this game could end up getting there because these two defenses, I think, aren't really great. And I think these two teams could attack the way that they want. And I think either side of this game could really go off. And I think this game could have that sneaky upside to go off. I know there's a concern with the weather in this game. It doesn't look like it's right now. It looks like it's going to be that crazy. It looks like wind is going to be the bigger issue. It looks like there might be a few slow showers, flurries in the area. But they're saying 15-mile-an-hour sustained winds. As long as it stays there, I'm okay with still targeting the passing attack. There is going to be 30-mile-an-hour gusts. Did you say later in the game, you get up to 35 to 40-mile-an-hour gusts? But I have to see on that. But other than that, part of that, I think that game has the potential to really be sneaky. Nobody's really playing it outside of Josh Jacobs. Everybody's going all in on Josh Jacobs, which makes sense because of the usage. But I also think the Chicago side, especially their rushing attack, I know we're talking about quarterbacks, but that Chicago side, the running backs, the Packers have really fallen off a cliff in terms of their run defense lately, recently as well. And so I think there's a lot of avenues here in this Green Bay-Chicago game that we could get to.
Yeah, I mean, the running backs I guess all across the board, right? Like Josh Jacobs being 6,300, I get it. He's just pulling in so much popularity right now that, not that it caused for concern. I think that's one of the more – I usually lean in most to the running back chalk, but, you know, just on a six-game slate, I do think there are some substantial pivots to be able to get to. I think people are sleeping on the Chicago side. I mean, Ben Johnson has said it time and time again, you know, there is nothing that they can do without that run game getting established. And I think he wants that. He wants to be able to add in the play action. He wants to be able to, you know, scheme up these things once they're able to get it going. So, Swift had some success, you know, in this matchup during the regular season. It's always weird when you know, these teams face each other now for the third time, in the regular season. So we'll see what happens. But I mean, even on the Green Bay side, Kev, like I really think that we start to see, you know, I think Dontavian Wicks is on the report, right? Matthew Golden has not been able to be trusted. And Jaden Reed's 4K. Like, you know, he probably gets one of the better matchups. Christian Watson, we know what he can do. And Romeo Doubs seems to have a rapport with him. All these guys are like very affordable. The Packers side of it looks really, really nice to be able to stack up and still be able to get some of these high priced pieces on a roster if this game does, you know, go over, you know, like 50 points or plus in this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, they're both cheap too. I mean, Jordan Love's 5,300, Caleb Williams 5,600. Right. Thing you like about Caleb Williams too, he does offer something on the ground. He offers something with his legs. Like, I mean, he's not going to be out there like Josh Allen racking up, you know, huge yardage totals, but he can still get there and give you maybe 30, 40 rushing yards. I think that's in the range of outcomes for him. And so both those guys, in terms of like cheaper stacks, I think is, you know, if you're, and especially if you're wanting to pay up for some of the high price studs like Puka, you know, like a Christian McCaffrey or something like that, James Cook, whatever, I think it makes it a lot easier if you can get there with, you know, Caleb Williams or a Jordan Love. And I think both of them can. Now, the issue, the only thing with Caleb Williams now is going to be now that Roma Dunze is back included, is going to be playing this game because, you know, in terms of stacking him, you know, obviously Colson Loveland went off last week, went absolutely nuclear for them last week in that game where they lost to the Lions. But But I think it makes it a little bit tougher to try to trust who you're going to stack him with. And I think, you know, same thing with probably Jordan Love as well. It's probably not as much of an extent, but there still is enough there. But if I was stacking Jordan Love, I would definitely go with Christian Watson, would definitely be included in that. I think you could probably talk me into a Jaden Reed or a Romeo Doubs who's involved once they get to the red zone. But in terms of Caleb Williams, it becomes a little bit tougher because now you have Roma Dunze who's back. You have Colson Loveland. You have Luther Burden who, you know, is getting involved. DJ Moore, you know, looks like he's going to be good to go for this game. So it makes it a little bit tougher to trust who to stack whenever if you're going to play Caleb.
Yeah, it does. It does for sure. That's what I think the running backs are you know probably my preferred route to go. But Caleb, you know, Caleb, if we get to game, I mean, Rome is. I'm not even factoring in Rome to be honest this week, Kev. I mean, he's already, you know, he's been out there saying that like if this wasn't a playoff game, he probably wouldn't be playing. But because it is, you know, he's going to be active. Like he's dealing with a stress factor. I don't know how healthy he's going to be, you know. And, you know, Olamide Zaccheaus is basically out of the rotation too. You know, DJ Moore, so this is my long way of saying, like, I still think Burden, 4,600, that, you know, our boy, Mizzou, shout out. Like, he's definitely in play. I think they're definitely going to try and scheme him work 2 weeks removed from, you know, what seemed to be like an injury scare that he avoided. Colson Loveland is just the dude. He's just that dude. Like, you can play him with Caleb. You can play him without Caleb. He's cheap enough. He's honestly way too cheap for his role that he has at 4,400. So I think he's in play. I think it's a little bit more surefire than we might think, but you know, I would probably lean Swift first though to get my exposure to that side. You know, yeah, I mean, Kev, I'm gonna have to do something with this Chargers team. Like, I'm probably gonna bet the money line on this game. Like, I agree with you on that defense wholeheartedly. Like, this is just like not a team I don't think New England wanted to see in the first round. It's always weird when this team travels, but Herbert's been in these positions before. You know, they got a solid coach. I'm really intrigued by that game. So I think it could be sneaky, but we will see. Let's talk about running back, Kev.
I don't feel like we nailed it down. Just really quick, who are your top three players? Like, who are the top three guys that you want to play?
Yeah, I think for me, it's. I mean, I can't. You know, like I said, I'll take it from a three max standpoint where it's. I have to have exposure to Rams through Stafford. I definitely want exposure, probably to the Eagles with the way the 49ers defense has been shaping up, and then. Probably, you know how it is for me, Kev. Like, I would like to go with a cheap guy. It would probably be, honestly, it would be either I'd look to see what I could do with Caleb or Jordan Love first, or just go to a Josh Allen team. But I think for me, like, I really want to start with the Rams and the Eagles side of the football. I think they have clear paths to get to 30 with their quarterbacks. I think, you know, from the other sides, I could see, you know, other pieces coming to fruition, but not necessarily the quarterback bringing the slate. Although maybe we get that with Lawrence. I don't know. But I know for sure that I want Matthew Stafford and Jalen Hurts first and foremost. How about you?
Yeah, Stafford's going to be probably number one for me. I think a close second is probably Josh Allen. But understand that with Josh Allen, you're riding right into 40, 50% ownership. And I think projection wise, like he does project the best and by almost 2 points right now, but like there's four other quarterbacks that are right behind him. And so like, I don't think he's a clear cut, like 100%. And as we know, like if you need Super Josh to pay off that price and for him to get there, like you need the Jaguars to get an early lead on that in that game and push Josh Allen to have to go and put the team on his back. But still the upside is there. I think three for me, my favorite pay down option is Jordan Love. I just think the matchup is great. And it's a cheap stack to get to. and it allows you to kind of play everything else and play it, pay up for a lot of the studs on the slate. But I think he kind of unlocks a lot of things. Like, I think Stroud is interesting because Pittsburgh's, I know we didn't talk about him, but like Pittsburgh's deep, like pass defense has been dreadful. But yeah, my only issue with Stroud has really been like his home road splits are stark. Like on the road, like he is not very good. He has not been very good through his entire career. Like when I want to play Stroud, it's at home, but I will say the matchup is really good because the Steelers have really, really struggled this year, especially recently against the pass. And we just saw last week, you know, Lamar Jackson hit, you know, Zay Flowers on two deep balls. That is something they've really struggled with all year. And, you know, they have the players do it. But I just don't love the spot. I don't love the matchup. I don't think they really have to do enough to get there to Stroud. So Jordan Love would be number three. But now we can move over to running backs. I just want to clarify a little
bit. No, I think you answered it for me, Kev, which is why, you know, I'll say it this way and we'll go to running back. Is my third would probably be Lawrence. You know, if one, you like it, right? Because it's like they're at home, they've been explosive. So, like, it could just be Lawrence again against his defense doing it. If the Bills go, if Josh Allen's going out there and getting 30, I like Lawrence's chances to be able to push the pace as well, too. And he's been having some sneaky rushing upside, you know, over the second half of the season, too. So, yeah, Lawrence for me would probably be third. I do like getting exposure to the Jacksonville offense. So that would be that. And then as we go to running back, right, Kev? I think if I, you know, my bring back on that side would be James Cook. You know, James Cook, the rushing leader, you know, for the league, even though, you know, really kind of teetered off there towards for the last two games. But he's been so explosive. You know, probably not one of the, you know, the Jaguars defense is pretty solid, you know, but everything just flows so much through James Cook. I think, you know, the Jacksonville defense has a propensity to give up some work to running backs right through the air. So if we can get some catches out of the backfield with his rushing workload, and like he'll be the dude at 7,400. I like that a lot. Like I've already talked about, like my exposure from the Chicago Green Bay game is going to be through the running backs. I'm not going to come in at whatever the, you know, 50% projected ownership that Josh Jacobs is going to see or 48%. Like I'm just not going to get there. But I do like having, you know, some exposure to him. But on the other side, I think my clear pivot would be DeAndre Swift in that same game. I think he definitely will be swept on for people. I do like Saquon a lot as well, too. On that Jalen Hurts team, I might just play him and Saquon. Like we've seen in the past where they could both get going. Like I think against this 49ers defense, like anybody can get going with the injuries that they have. So definitely interested in him. You know, if I needed the salary relief, I might look at a Kyle Manun guy, although, you know, he hasn't been seeing the work that you would want to see. But, you know, if you need, you know, on a team where I'm overstacking the Rams, right, Kev, if I need a, you know, a cheaper option who I'm just like saying, go out and get me, you know, 12 to 15 score a touchdown, Manun guy could be that piece. So I think he still definitely has a role in the offense. So I'd be willing to get to him. And then my GPP on the whole slate, Kev, is Kyren Williams. I never really get on this guy. He's kind of like my Achilles heel from a DFS standpoint. If I play him, he never does well. And every time I feel like I can miss out on him. But because this is the first game of the slate and because how apt so many people are going to be to target this Rams offense, like we've seen this happen before where they get down into the red zone and they just end up giving this dude the ball. And if they are handling business against this Carolina team, like on the road and are maybe look ahead, I mean, that could maybe affect Kyren, where Blake Corum could become like an ultimate GPP play. But I think on the grand scheme of things, this team's implied to score 30 points. Like the running back's not, people aren't getting to the running back. Like this is one of those plays that we would always look at and be like, why did we not just, you know, think about playing Kyren, who has the ability to go 102 on any slate that he is. He's only 6,400. And I just think he provides ultimate leverage, you know, against this one passing tack that could end up being, you know, more popular than not. And, you know, how many people are then going to have that pivot on the other side with like a Kyren and Rams D even, you know, just to just lock those two in. So that's what I'm looking at from the running back position. On my end, Kev, pretty straightforward for me. What say you at the running back position? What are you doing?
I actually agree with you. I think Kyren is kind of a sneaky play. No one's getting to him right now. He's carrying no ownership. And it is a little bit, you know, obviously because of the Blake Corum stuff when it comes to Kyren Williams. But, you know, since week nine, Kyren has been the lead back, handling 63% of the snaps, only 51% of the rush attempts, with a 7% target share. Obviously, none of those things are great. Blake Corum has been played 33% of the snaps, 37% of the rush attempts, but has been a non-factor in the passing game. And so, I mean, the passing game still does go to Kyren, but they just don't really look to target him like that. So I do think that he probably has a limited ceiling too. He's only surpassed 17 DraftKings points three times all year. But I definitely think that this can still be an optimal spot. You know, the Panthers have really started to fall off, you know, over the last month, month and a half of the season against the run. And so, like, Kyren does, I think, is nice leverage. And just nobody's getting him to him right now. He's 6,400, and so he's not overly expensive. But I think he's really good leverage off Josh Jacobs right now, because Josh Jacobs, like you said, is definitely the main chalk, you know, at running back right now, or one of the highest, chalky running backs on this slate right now. Christian McCaffrey is, you know, obviously the highest, looking to be the highest right now. So I definitely think that he is in play. I think he's a really solid play at cost. You know, I think there's some other spots, though. Like, one, Travis Etienne. You know, I know that Bashaul Tutin came back last week. But, you know, one area that Buffalo really has struggled all year has been against the run. Like, they have really struggled to stop opposing running backs. Travis Etienne's only 6,600. So, again, not overly expensive, to get up to him. So, I think Travis Etienne, I think a really big question mark right now is this Patriots backfield, because – you know, we continually see everybody flock to Travion Henderson, and I'm not saying Travion Henderson necessarily is a bad play, but it's been kind of a weird role for him recently, where he's just been utilized on the ground and hasn't been utilized at all through the air. I mean, he's seen one target over his last three games, four targets since their week 14 bye, and it's been Ramondre, actually, who has been getting this work. Ramondre is running, since week 13, Ramondre is running 60% of the routes and within an 11% target share right now in this backfield. And, you know, he has outproduced Travion Henderson. He's averaging 20 DraftKings points per game compared to just 13 DraftKings points per game for Travion Henderson. So it's not been bad for Henderson. But, I mean, Ramondre has really been getting there. He's also – Ramondre has played 61% of the snaps and you know, 40% compared to 40% for Travion Henderson. And everybody's playing, you know, Travion Henderson, and nobody's playing Ramondre, who's 5,800. So, again, you know, it's not necessarily the best matchup against the Chargers, but there has been times this year where the Chargers have struggled to stop the run. And so, you know, 5,800 Ramondre, I don't mind that. I think he's nice leverage off of Travion Henderson. Kenny Gainwell, like I think the way you get to him at 5,900 right now, I don't think a lot of people are going to want to play him. And to be honest, like, what is Aaron Rodgers going to want to do? He's going to want to get the ball out of his hands very, very quickly. He is not going to hold the ball at all, especially against this pass rush for the Texans. And I think you see, you know, even with DK Metcalf back, I think you see a lot of check down, you know, and receiving work for Kenneth Gainwell. Like, he has been that guy. Like, he has been absolutely peppered with targets, especially over the last, like, 8 weeks of the season. The dude's just been seeing incredible workload in the passing game. And he's 5,900 right now. And so, you know, I don't know if it's a spot where he's going to go out and give you, you know, 20-plus DraftKings points. But I think at 5,900, he could be a player that can give you, you know, 15 to 18 because of his pass-catching upside that he provides. And so I do like him at 5,900. And then I agree with you. I think DeAndre Swift, there is some worry, like, with this because, you know, the workload that the Kyle Manon guy sees as well. That does, you know, how much does he lose to him where that can be tricky. But he's still the RB1 in this backfield. You know, he's basically 56% of the snaps for Swift, 45% of the rush attempts. Really, I mean, in terms of routes, he runs 44% of the routes, but has only seen a 5% target share over the last six games, where Monongai has seen a 6% target share while only running 30% of the routes, but he only sees about 40% of the rush attempts. So, it can be a little bit, you know, scary playing somebody like DeAndre Swift because of the usage. But I think the matchups there, Green Bay has been really bad against the run over the last month of the season. So I think getting to the Bears backfield, I think, is also a really good play.
Yeah, no, I mean, it can't be more cut and dry for me at the running back position this week. Kev, I didn't talk about him, but, you know, Christian McCaffrey, 8,500. I definitely will try and get to some. It's Christian McCaffrey, but, you know, I think there are some of these mid-range plays that do stand out, and I most likely will be paying up at wide receiver in some way, shape, or form to, you know, get the Rams guys in or get heavy mid-range there. So I'll have to see how it shapes out. But yeah, on the team that I have Jalen Hurts on, I would like to get exposure to San Francisco through Christian McCaffrey. So I'll probably have, you know, a share of him at least, but not a starting point for me this week.
As far as the top guys go, like James Cook, is that your favorite in terms of the top?
Yeah, I think so. I think I could see myself getting to James Cook, like outside of a Trevor Lawrence stack, and really just making him, you know, a pillar. I think, you know, I think for me, it's like if I'm not playing, I might have two Kyren teams, Kev. Like if I'm doing three max and I have a Matthew Stafford team, I most likely will not play Kyren on that team. I just don't think it really makes sense to do that full onslaught, but that might be like a Saturday only play. But you know, on the six game slate, I have Matthew Stafford with the passing attack. And then if I don't have him, I'd probably look to get to Kyren first, because I just think that like that offense is going to put up. If they don't, they don't. It is what it is. But like some way, shape, or form, I want exposure to the Rams. And if it's not through Stafford, I'll look to get it through other ways. But yeah, James Cook, I think, is that next play for me, high price.
And I don't like, what are your thoughts on Saquon? Because I'll say this, the matchup is great. Like the 49ers just lost another, you know, linebacker, the guy that's filling in for Fred Warner. He's not going to be playing in this game. So like this defense is so incredibly banged up. You know, the problem with Saquon is he just really hasn't really gotten there, you know, at all really this year. I guess a couple weeks ago against Washington, he did, you know, have 21 DraftKings points in that game. But like, he hasn't been somebody that's absolutely killed you, right? He has really the one game going all the way back to week 8 against the Giants where he scored 33. But other than that, it's been a lot of 15 to 18 DraftKings points type performances. But the matchup is certainly there. And this is still a team that really wants to run the ball at a really high rate. And so, like, do you see yourself wanting to play him at all?
Yeah, I do. I like Philly in general. And like I said, I'll play him on my Jalen Hurts team. I just think that they're two of the biggest catalysts of the offense. You get down there, maybe it's a tush push, maybe it's not. We'll see. They have run some screen action plays to him. This could be like it, you know. I mean, they have a chance to run it back. You know, how often does that happen? And you know, they might just want to stick it to this team. So, like you said, it's one of the better matchups that on paper that he's probably going to get all rest of the playoffs. So at 7K, I do want to have some exposure to him for sure.
I think in terms of leverage, because I don't think Saquon Barkley's ownership is going to be as high. I think Jeff Jacobs is going to come in higher than him.
Oh,
I think,
for sure.
I think James Cook is going to probably come in higher than him as well. And I think he's a really good leverage play, because also keep in mind, Lane Johnson is back for this offensive line, and that is absolutely massive. This offensive line is so much better with Lane Johnson out there. So getting Lane Johnson back, I think, is massive for this offense this weekend. And so, you know, Saquon, I think the upside is certainly there. Like,
and
he's getting the less side of the, in terms of ownership, I think, in terms of the big four guys that are, you know, above 7K, you know, he's kind of coming in below them. And so, and he's for right now, projections wise, you know, he projects just as good as they do. And so I think Saquon is a really, really strong leverage play off of those guys.
Yeah, he makes for such a great play, Kev, when you think about the state of the slate. You know, you already have teams that have Kyren. You already have however many teams we want to pencil in, right, in the tournament that you're in. Damn near half the field, right, or let's just say a third of the field will have Josh Jacobs, have already gone. James Cook on the Sunday morning game, like he'll have gone. Etienne will have gone. So like really your only pivot, like, you know, is Christian McCaffrey versus Saquon, who are in the same game. Like, you know, you kind of mentioned, like, I don't think people are going to get to the Patriots or Chargers running backs. And, you know, there's too much of a, you know, drop down for the Pittsburgh running backs. So there just might not be a lot of places to go and not a lot of things that people could do. So just having Saquon in your back pocket definitely feels good. And even if you know if you have Christian McCaffrey teams and you're looking for some leverage, you know, to build around, if you have two pieces or three, look to see if you can get Saquon on there, because there'll be so many others that have gone, and you know, depending on what they do, you could really, you know, that could pay off. Like him getting 25 might be it. Like that might be the winner. He might not need to go out and smash necessarily. So yeah, I like getting to some exposure for sure. Anything else you got at the running back position, Kev, before we talk about wide receiver?
No, I think we talked through it. Like I said, I think my favorite, you know, high price guy is probably going to be Saquon, and then right under him is going to be probably James Cook or ETN. ETN is going to be well less owned, and then you know in the middle, yeah, the middle tier guys. I think Kenneth Gainwell, you know, Ramondre, you know, DeAndre Swift are all guys to take a look at too.
Yeah, ETN definitely worries me. I have not liked playing him in the past, but the one time that I played ETN this year, I had a pretty decent team when he caught those three touchdowns from Trevor Lawrence, and I was like, I don't even know how I got to this team because I never really play them together, but it worked out. So now I'm always thinking that in the back of my head. But yeah, at 6,600, do I play him on that Jacksonville stack or not? Will be a question of mine all Friday and all Saturday leading into lock. So we'll see what ends up happening. As we talk about the wide receiver position though, Cav, I mean, you know, where do we, you know, start if it's not with these Rams guys? You know, Devontae Adams is finally back into our lives. He's 6,500. This was the running back. Like this was the red zone running back guy, as they threw, you know, however many times in a row to Devontae Adams. It seemed like every time they got into the red zone, they were trying to run, you know, a pattern for him and not running the ball in the red zone. So definitely provides hesitation for me to load up on Kyron, so to speak. But, you know, he's been so good for this offense. I can't see them not trying to get him involved. But, you know, the game could be out of reach. Maybe not. Puka at 8,700. I mean, he just is Puka. Like, optimizers and projection systems are going to have him at the top. They're going to try and force him in, even on a six-game slate. Like, just figure out the rest because we know what he can do when he hits. But there are just, you know, there are a litany of mid-range plays that do stand out to me. You know, Parker Washington at 5K, I think even if I'm not playing Trevor Lawrence, just the role that he has in this offense, I have no idea. Like, I'm not going to consider myself any type of ball knower or anything like that. But, like, BTJ, I don't know what's going on there. I wish I did. I still think that he has an incredible profile. You know, he's 4,700 only. So, like, will I get him on the team? I don't know. But, like, just seeing that price tag makes it interesting to me. But Parker Washington has carved out surefire role for him. Him and Lawrence have had a solid rapport the back half of the season. So I like getting teams with him first and foremost. I think the, you know, whether it's AJ Brown or Devonta Smith, I think one of them kind of shapes up for a big game. So I'm always apt to, you know, lean on those guys. Nico Collins at only 7,200 seems like a fine one-off play. I don't know how much I'll have of him, but if I have the salary, I'd be willing to get to him, you know, as my lone piece or two piece with the defense exposure to that late hammer with the way the Pittsburgh defense has been playing. You know, on the cheap end too, I think Shakir's going to be like, I just never understand this, Kev. Like, we just have to stop making these Buffalo receivers. Like, I get it, like, from a projection system, they're going to pop off the page, but, like, these guys are just not trustworthy. We cannot trust what the Buffalo Bills are going to be doing in order to make, you know, Khalil Shakir, even at the price tag, like, one of the more popular plays on the slate. It's just never going to feel comfortable to me. I can't ever consider playing a chalky Khalil Shakir, but I feel like he will be very popular at only 4,800 this week. And the only way I play him is if I had Josh Allen. Like, I'm not going to play him from a one-off position. So Other than that, I think it's, you know, the value of the Green Bay and Chicago game. And it is value. Like, you look at Christian Watson and Jaden Reed both being under 5K. Luther Burden is 4,600. Romeo Doubs is only 4,400 too. So, like, these pieces are definitely strong pieces to me. So then it's just a matter of how many you want to get into your lineup. But, Kev, what say you at the wide receiver position and where your build's taking you at this point?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's nothing really to be said about Puka. I mean, it's Puka Nacua. Like I already said earlier, the Panthers play cover three at the highest rate in the league, and he absolutely smashes cover three. I would say the last time this team faced, you know, he didn't necessarily, you know, he was six for 72. In that game, Davante Adams actually was the one. He scored two touchdowns in that game, of course, because that's what Davante Adams does once they get down to the red zone. Is just score touchdowns, obviously, you know, and Puka, the last, you know, what, month of the season, he's just went absolutely nuclear, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that Davante Adams has been out, but still, like, this is still a guy that, you know, the guy that is going to see a ton of targets. He is the engine of this offense. I think Davante Adams, I think, is nice leverage to get to. Like, I definitely want to have some exposure to him because of, you know, his, you know, touchdown upside. Like, the dude just scores so many touchdowns. I think he's 13 games. He scored 14 touchdowns basically because he didn't play all that much in the last few games. But the dude was just incredible this year, Davante Adams. But, you know, he is more touchdown or bust. Like, he's probably not going to give you 7 for 110 or something like that. Like, he is much more, you know, once they get inside the red zone, especially with him coming off of, you know, being off for so long. But I still think there's upside there with him in terms of, like, I think, like, I know I said I really want a lot of action on this game or that much, but like a really sneaky mini might actually be like Kenneth Gainwell and Nico Collins, because like I talked about, like the Steelers pass defense has not been very good and they have really struggled to stop explosive plays. Like, that has been their biggest issue so far there, you know, this year for that defense. And that's exactly what Nico Collins, you know, does. Like, he is their downfield threat. And so, like, it wouldn't shock me at all to see Nico Collins, you know, haul in a couple deep touchdowns. Nobody's playing Nico Collins. He is being, right now, looks like sub 5% ownership right now. I know he's expensive at 7,200, but I do like that little mini stack or just as a late game hammer playing in your flex of Nico Collins if you can afford it. But I do like Nico at $7,200. I do agree with you when it comes to, you know, probably Rome Odunze not being all, you know, as much involved in this offense this weekend. Luther Burden, I think, is interesting, especially at 4,600. I know he really wasn't involved last week, which was kind of frustrating because, you know, we were kind of, you know, in the chat, we kind of talked about him, but I was heavily on him. And of course, he really didn't do anything last week. I was super frustrating. You had to have basically Caleb Williams and Colson Loveland, you know, and I had more Luther Burden. I still had Colson Loveland, but I had more triple stacks with Luther Burden, and that didn't really help. Right now, the most popular wide receiver on the slate is Christian Watson. Right now, he's carrying like 60% ownership this weekend, 4,900. And I love Christian Watson. Like, I think he's a great play. Everything we talked about, the Bears, I think, allow like the third most passes of 20-plus yards this year. They allow a ton of explosives. And, you know, when it comes to Christian Watson, you know, that's obviously his role is the downfield threat. You know, we saw, you know, back in week 14, you know, he scored 25 DraftKings points. Christian Watson didn't, but that was off of two touchdowns, four catches, 89 yards. And so he could definitely get there. But if he's going to be that popular, if he's going to be 60% owned, like, I think, you know, even just going to Romeo Doubs at 4,400 or Jaden Reed, I think is nice leverage. Because I think that those guys could also get there. Like, they spread the ball around enough to where some of these other guys could definitely get there. I'm not saying Christian Watson is a bad play, because it's not at all. He's an incredible spot. But at the same time, that is a very hefty price to play on a six-game – or that is a very massive amount of ownership. I will say, I think Parker Washington is pretty nice leverage. They're right at the same price. He's only 5K. We've seen him absolutely explode over the last month of the season. Dude's averaging 19 drafting points per game over the last month. It's absolutely wild. But he has really become kind of the safety blanket for this offense. 9 or more targets in 3 straight games for him. And he's done it against some really good defenses. I mean, he did it against, you know, Denver, 6 catches, 145 yards and a score, you know, on the road against Denver. You know, that was a really impressive game from him. But Parker Washington continues to play really well. He's 5K. I know, you know, people might want to get to Jacoby Myers. I don't mind Jacoby Myers. I think with Jacoby Myers, though, is like he's kind of fallen. He's kind of cooled off. He hasn't really hasn't scored double-digit DraftKings points since week 15. He kind of had that one game where he scored 21.3 against Tennessee in week 13, and then it really hasn't done a lot since that point. 14.8, 12.1, and like I said, 8.6, 8.9, 9.4. I'm not saying that he can't get there, but Parker Washington is probably my favorite play. It really is frustrating with Brian Thomas. I just don't think Brian Thomas is a good fit with Trevor Lawrence and this offense. We've kind of seen it even going back to last year with Brian Thomas Jr. I think I've said this before, but I think Brian Thomas Jr. probably gets traded this offseason and gets moved and goes to a different team. I think that's what happens with him, but I probably can't get there with him. I just think there's way too much volatility with him. And then, you know, the Patriots pass catchers, I don't really like any of them. I guess Stephon Diggs probably would make the most sense, but 6,300, not a good matchup. But the thing is with him, like, I know he's been kind of babied, you know, for a lot of this season, but with some of the injuries they've had recently, you know, we've seen him, you know, utilize a lot more, like, you know, week 16, week 17, saw 16 targets over those two games, scored 25 DraftKings points apiece. Like, the ceiling is definitely there for him, but, you know, $6,300, not necessarily a great matchup, though.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think the New England, you know, pieces are kind of the roulette too, right? It's like who's going to be the guy that is going to come along with Drake May this week with the options that they have. I will say that, you know, even though it's that first game and I'm not sure, you know, the Carolina team, you know, will they get to two or three touchdowns? Who knows? But Teddero McMillan at 6K does have some interest to me. I mean, he just really is a cog of this offense. You know, I think Jalen Coker's gotten going a little bit and maybe people chase a little bit from that two-game slate that we just had not too long ago. But I do think that Tat's a really solid player, and I could see him providing a usable score. I don't know if I necessarily will have a bring back on my Rams stack, but you know, if I were to have a bring back, he would definitely be the guy that I focused on this week.
It's just hard to trust Bryce Young, man. Bryce Young's been so bad this year. They have to. I think they have to move on from him after this offseason. Like, this offense can't function with him. And I think Ted McMillan is a awesome wide receiver. Like, it's just Bryce Young has been so bad, but like, I don't hate it. Like, he could definitely, like, I think there's a possibility, there's a world where he gets there. Mm-hmm. But because I mean, the target volume is should be there for him, but I don't know. Like, at 6K, I think like it makes it a little bit harder to play. Like, I think if he was in like the lower 5K range, if he was 50, you know, 52, 5,300, like, I'd probably have more interest. But at 6K, it makes it really tough to get there.
Yeah, and it's like I don't necessarily want the Coker piece just because I'm stacking two, Kev, because it could be Tat, but I don't want to take that shot, right? So it's like, do you spend the, you know, whatever it is, it's an $1,800 difference. So do you spend up the $1,800 just to have Tat, or, you know, do you just – because, I mean, the chances are, like, if I'm playing Stafford, it's going to be hard for me, Kev, to – play Stafford without Puka and Devontae. I'm just going to say it like that. So, when you're already gotten two wide receiver positions locked up there, sure, we could have the just ultimate game stack and it could pop off, but you really have to make decisions when you're spending all your salary there for three positions, then you add in 6K. It might be tough, but he just was, you know, I think the other team has got a really good shot to score 30. So on the other side, he could definitely, you know, provide a score that would be nice to have. Anything else, Kev, that you got the wide receiver position? We'll move it on to tight end.
I think the only thing would be like the cheap wide receivers. Like basically, I think Jaden Reed, Jaden Higgins, I think both of those guys are in play. Higgins also is utilized as a deep threat within the offense. So, you know, we've kind of seen it, him become more involved in the offense recently, and he should have been involved. I mean, the way that they've utilized these wide receivers this year has been kind of frustrating. But anyways, Jaden Higgins, Jaden Reed, both of them, you know, 41, 4K, both of those guys. I think probably the lowest I want to go, because, like, I like there's nobody like really in the 3K range like really stands out. Like, sure, you know, Calvin Austin can catch a 50-yard touchdown, but like, is that enough, especially on a 6-game slate? You know, it's a lot different when we're talking about like a 6-game slate versus like a 3-game slate where, you know, one guy, you know, if somebody catches a 70-yard touchdown or something like that, yeah, that guy's probably going to be optimal and probably in the winning lineup. Like when on a 6-game slate, I think you're going to need a little bit more than that to probably get there. So there's not a lot in the 3K range at wide receiver that I really love.
Yeah, no, I was going to say if there was, name them for sure. If you have anybody who's under, you know, Jaden Reed, that is going to stand out to you. I guess Keyshawn Booty status is up in the air potentially. He's limited. So, yeah, I expect him to play. But, yeah, I mean, it's tough to get to Kyle Williams there based on the way offense is going. Like, yeah, there's nothing. Like Kendrick Bourne, dead. Like Dontavian Wicks would be the one if he were end up able to suit. He's in concussion protocol. But, like, these all just feel really thin.
Saw 7 targets last week.
Who is 5. It?
Gabe Davis.
Gabe Davis. Yeah, so, like, I'm not – he might have thought like that might be the most targets that he sees all the rest of the year. You know, I just can't with Buffalo, dude. They got Shavers, they got Cooks, they got Davis, they got Palmer. Like, I'm not playing that game with them. I just won't get there. The only
if I was guy, playing like 150 lineup or something like that, then
yeah, the only guy who I guess would become interesting would be maybe DeMarcus Robinson without Pearsall. It's really thin, but like there kind of would be some merit there in a game if you expected points to be had. But yeah, it really feels, you know, like the 5K and 4K range is where I'm going to be living outside of Nacua, Collins, and Brown and Adams.
Yeah, I think there's a lot better case we had at tight end. I think there's like cheap tight ends that you could probably get to.
Yeah, so let's talk about tight ends quickly, Kev, this week, because I'm really having a hard time. Like, I absolutely love Loveland because he just still feels too cheap at 4,400 in this spot. I do like Dallas Goedert as well. You know, I usually will tend to pair him with Jalen Hurts to get that upside. But I, you know, on my Hurts team, I definitely will have Goedert exposure. You know, outside of that, I think my next, well, Brenton Strange on my Trevor Lawrence team, I think I'll definitely go there. 3,900. He's been coming on strong. And then it would probably be like from like Loveland, I'll play on any team. And then the next guy would be Dalton Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid, I'll play on any team. I'll have him on my Josh Allen team and build. But Dalton Kincaid, we've talked about what this offense looks like with him on and off the field, and when he's out there, Josh Allen just tends to play better. When he's not, we can definitely see it. So I think he makes for a strong play at 3,800. Any time that we can talk about, you know, the quarterback, I think it's always nice to have your quarterback stack with the tight end. I just feel like that definitely pays off dividends when you do so. But yeah, there's not a lot that stands out to me for some of these other positions. I think Dalton Schultz could end up getting some steam and being popular just at the position where he plays and it being the last game on the slate. You know, people want to have some PMR left. I could see that. Hunter Henry in a revenge game, quote unquote, so to speak, is a little bit interesting to me. But, you know, for me and George Kittle, like he's 6,200. He's George Kittle. Like I always love, you know, I love the guy. I love rooting for him, love watching him. But at 6,200, I just don't know that I'll get there this week. I'd probably play Goddard on the other side, and I'd play, you know, Loveland and Kincaid possibly too before him, because I want to be able to work with salary at different positions. So it probably squeezes them for me. But what are you looking at from the tight end position, Kev, and how are you building from that position this week?
Yeah, I mean, so like I do think like Tyler Higbee's probably in play, especially in a stack with Stafford. If you want to make it a little bit cheaper to kind of bring down the price of the stack, you know, playing him in there, because I don't think there's like incredible plays at tight end this week. Like I think there are, like there's a lot of arguments you made for a lot of them, where like none of them, like I don't think anybody really stands out as like a smash play. You know, you mentioned Kittle, he is so much more expensive than everybody else. Like, can he get there? Sure. Like, he's George Kittle. He's obviously, like, of the tight ends that are remaining here, he's obviously the best tight end that's on here. But at the same time, Philadelphia has been really good against tight ends all year. They do a really good job against them. And so, and Kittle, you know, especially at times, will stay in the block, you know, and stuff like that. So, especially with, you know, their issues, especially against his pass rush for the Eagles, like, that worries you some with Kittle. And at the cost, like, he has to go nuclear. Like, he has to score probably 25 to 30 draft points for him to probably really kill you, you know, at his cost, because of what it's going to do, because of some of the other high-priced guys, you're probably going to want to get into your lineups. I think that Dalton Schultz, I think, is a good call. It is a good, really match. It's, again, really good matchup. Again, Pittsburgh's pass defense has been really bad. Dalton Schultz is 4K. Like, he has been really productive, you know, just since week 13, scored 12.5, 21.6, 14.5, 11.3. Like, he could definitely get there. He's not expensive. He's 4K. So if you want to do that, like, I don't mind it. But like I said, Tyler Higbee's 3,200. If you want to get really, you know, spicy, you know, Tommy Tremble, I think you could look there at 2,800, mainly just a salary saver. But again, you know, with Jatavion Sanders out, you know, for the rest of the season, Tommy Tremble kind of becomes a little bit more interesting of a play. He's 2,800. If you're wanting to get a little bit different, I think you could look there, you know, as a really cheap option. So I think it's Tremble. I think it's Higbee. And then from there, you know, like I said, I don't mind Kincaid. I think with Kincaid is, though, he just doesn't really see, like, any volume whatsoever. Like, he hasn't topped, what, five targets once since week nine. He's dealing with this knee injury. He's, you know, loses opportunity to Dawson Knox. And so, like, it just becomes a really frustrating situation. You also have Jackson Hawes, who's, you know, gets involved as well. They just spread the ball around so much, like I said, that it makes it really tough to get there. You know, Kincaid is just certainly good enough. You know, if all of a sudden, if they wanted to attack him and utilize him, like, it certainly is within the range of outcomes. But I think there's a lot of volatility with him at 3,800, but he's not a bad play. Now, it comes to Colson Loveland. He's going to carry a lot of ownership because he's coming off two monster games in a row. You know, last week, the monster game, 10 catches, 91 yards and a score. Week before that, you know, six for 94 and a score. Like, dude's been phenomenal. One of the best, the best rookie tight end this year, and probably next year. You know, you talk about next year, he's going to be a top five tight end locked in. But it is not a necessarily great matchup for him. But still, 4,400. I'm going to have Colson Loveland because the dude's been really good.
Yeah, I mean, he's just one of the guys that I'll just click in and just see what I can do with the rest of the lineup because of what his role is in the offense. He's just so reliable. So at 4,400, yeah, I think he makes a ton of sense. You know, this Buffalo team, Kev, it's going to be curious to see how they attack because, like, you know, they're supposed to be the team, right? They should be the favorite. They're not because of the way season played out, but, like, they should be without the Chiefs being in the mix and the way that it's gone. Like, this has been Josh Allen's time to shine and get to the promised land. And, you know, they have a tough matchup there with Jacksonville Buzzsaw. So they might pull out all the stops. You know, I think they do need to get guys like, you know, Kincaid involved more and really could be aggressive because of what this game, you know, could end up meaning. So, that's why I was interested in him. I don't know, you know, Kincaid and Cook and I guess Shakir to a certain extent, if people are expecting that at 4,800, it's just tough for me with the wide receivers, but yeah, him too. Like they're going to need to lean on their best players, in this matchup, I feel like to be able to do it. And that's why I think that game really, you know, definitely stands out for sure, because we could just see it being, a back and forth, you know, slugfest on either side of the offensive ball.
Yeah, I mean, I it's definitely in the range of outcomes.
Anything? Did you talk about your boy Aronde Gadsden? Are we going to talk about any Chargers at all, or you off this guy?
I mean, for this year, I feel like. I mean, next year, I think he's going to be again. I think there's a really bright future for Aronde Gadsden, but. I don't know. This passing offense just hasn't been that great for the Chargers. I feel like this is going to be a gross, grinded-out type game. Like, could he score a touchdown or two? Certainly. Like, you know, especially once he gets to the red zone, like, that's definitely the range of outcomes. You know, the last time, you know, they He played a, you know, with Justin Herbert, you know, in that game against Houston. He was targeted 6 times, 32 yards a score. So, like, I mean, him scoring, you know, 12 to 15 DraftKings points at 3,400 could make him optimal. Like, it's definitely possible, but, like, I just think there's other guys that I'd probably rather get to.
Yeah, no, definitely. The only other guy, Kev, before we talk defense and then close it up, and appreciate the DJ Nation rocking along with us tonight as we're breaking down the DFS wildcard picks here, DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. The only other guy, Kev, that I can think could make some sense is you talked about, you know, the mini stack in this game with maybe Gainwell and Collins, but could be Pat Freiermuth, you know, in this game. Since Darnell Washington has been put on IR, you know, they have to lean on these guys. Now, the annoying thing is, right, is that, you know, Hayward finds himself, you know, running in touchdowns when they get in close, which is just so annoying. This offense is just really annoying from a DFS perspective, but he still has, you know, enough big playmaking ability. Rodgers has definitely leaned on him in some big moments. He's only 3,500. And really he's kind of overshadowed Jonnu Smith being in this offense. It just seems like, you know, they have more of a rapport, but you know, that would be the only other guy that I would consider here. I think he might project out decently at only 3,500, and it could be a nice play from the late standpoint.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, when there's not, no, like, you know, from the standpoint of Kev, like, there's not a lot to like the position. So, and I really don't want to do, you know, the two tight end thing this week. I think there's a lot of good plays at running back and wide receiver to, you know, force us to not. But, like, you know, if you need some salary relief and a guy, you know, he's got a pretty decent floor, I guess. And or maybe like his floor is scary, but like the ceiling could really be there if he's able to find the end zone at only 3,500. So when there's not a lot that we like at tight end, you know, I look to try and save that salary and just see, you know, what makes sense. He could be part of maybe, you know, I'm not saying you need to start your lineups with him by any means, but you need salary relief. You could keep him in mind. And if you did try and do a mini from that late game, I would keep him in mind as well too. I know DK Metcalf being back in the mix will kind of change things, but without Darnell Washington being out there, you know, they've been running a lot of 12, and you know, he'll be on the field. So I had to bring him up. He's only 3,500, and I think that he has some merit there. Kev, let's talk defense real quick, and just how much Eagles defense will you have? The way you're talking about, you know, this is Fangio's defense. We know what Fangio is capable of, especially when it comes to, you know, playoff performances and getting the most out of his teams. And, you know, as many playmakers as there are for the other side for San Francisco, like if there's no Trent Williams out there and Purdy's getting pressured, 2,900 Eagles is looking mighty nice and probably going to be real popular. I think that the two defenses in the late game definitely have intrigue for me. And then as popular as he's going to be, Jordan Love, that is, I have to have some interest in the Bears, Kev, at 2,500. I mean, they can do the things that we want from a DFS perspective on defense. They do, you know, it's fluky, right? But they can force turnovers. And they, you know, getting to the quarterback is suspect, but they have had a propensity to, you know, get pressure onto Jordan Love as well too. So the hope is you can get some sacks there and maybe get a turnover or two. And you're having a defense against one of the more popular offenses on the slate as leverage. What do you think about defense this week, Kev?
I think the Chargers are too cheap at 2,200. Yeah. I talked about them. They have been incredibly good this year.
I like that call.
And so, like, they're 2,200. I don't know why they're as cheap as they are. Like, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But so, like, salary saver, you know, I'm always one to pay down at defense, 2,200. Like, they definitely would be the spot that I would look at. But I'll also say, like, you know, normally on a, you know, on a full game slate, like, you know, we're talking about defenses that are, you know, high-priced defenses are 4K or, you know, 3,900, 3,800. Like, the high, most expensive defense is 35. So it makes it a lot easier to fit a lot of things. Yeah. Like the Texans, for example, against Pittsburgh. Like I said, like, I love the Texas defense. And they're 3,300. Like, that is – they should be 4K, in my opinion, you know, against this Pittsburgh offense. The Rams defense is 3,500. I think they're – That's probably underpriced.
They should really be. They should be 39 4K.
Yeah. So, like, I think both of them you could easily fit in your lineups, and so I think both of those are certainly places you could look. And like I said, I think the cheap defense for me would be the Chargers.
Like that call for the Chargers, Kev, for sure. Especially, you know, not having too much interest on the offensive side at this point in time. I do think it's still a great game from a GPP perspective. I just don't know that I'll get there on tighter builds. But, yeah, $2,200 for them is way too cheap with what they can do front seven and secondary-wise. Kev, let's build a lineup for the people. You know, even though we're into playoffs, we still got to be able to build these lineups. DeGen Nation fam, we do it every week, and it wouldn't be a show without it. So we're gonna build it out. Let me see here, as we got different slates right all across the board. So let's pull up the 6-game slate, see what that flagship tournament's looking like. So we got the Saturday. That's a Saturday only special. Let's go to the 6-gamer. So let's get in this $18, Kev. $18, 100K to first tournament there, like what we're seeing. A Saturday to Monday special. Let's build out this team. Kev, you started off this week. Start us off in the playoffs, going strong in 2026. How are we doing it?
We go Saquon.
Let's go Kyren.
Matthew Stafford. Or, you know what? No. You're going to hate it. Jordan Love.
Let's do it. Watson.
Colson Loveland.
And let's do Reed as well. So, and let's just do this, Kev. You take one, I'll take one. We'll just plug in the Chargers at 2,200. It leaves us 79 as it stands right now. We have 7,900 for two positions. So, that's if we do Chargers defense. So we can definitely up this, but just wanted to see what we were working with. Who you like, Kev?
I had it on mute. Rookie
mute. I was like, he's not even talking through his thoughts.
No, I was like, man, I really like Nico as the and the flex at the, you know, late night, you know, the Monday hammer here, but it makes it tough because he's you know what? I'll just plug in James Cook.
All right, so I'm gonna move Barkley to the flex with Cook being in play. And we put Cook. Okay. Okay. Let's do.
So you could, how you want to do it, but you could upgrade the defense if you want.
I was going to say, do we just do Nico and Texans?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go with that.
I'm going with the two, I think. Yeah, let's lock it in for right now. We'll figure it out. But yeah, we got a Jordan Love stack here for the DeGen Nation fam. Love the you sending me with this juju before I go to the game on Saturday, Kev. But no worries. We got Jordan Love double stack with Christian Watson and Jaden Reed. Bring back with Colson Loveland. Our running backs are Saquon, Kyren, and James Cook. Like what we did there with the running back position for sure. Have Nico Collins late. Or late hammer, I should say. And then the Texans defense also with the late hammer. We'll lock that into the $18, 100K to first. And we will put a bow on the wild card pick breakdown for the DeGen Nation fam. Kev, you got any final words for the people? I think even building the team out, it's going to be a fun one. This is definitely a great GPP slate to be able to attack. But what final words you got for the people?
I agree. I think it's a fun slate. What's your Super Bowl pick?
I'm not sure if I said it at the beginning of the show or when we were just talking offline, but I do have a Bills and 49ers future, which is looking really tough right now. I think it's wide open. AFC, honestly, Kev, it's crazy, but I think whoever wins this Buffalo-Jacksonville game, I think can do it in the AFC. I'm not sold. I would like to see. I would like to see Matthew Stafford go one more time. I think the Rams have enough. It would be interesting to see that rematch with them and the Eagles. So I'll go Rams and Jaguars, I guess.
I think in the AFC, I feel like it's like the Bills. If they don't go this year, like, it's probably time to fire Sean McDermott. And like,
yeah,
like, because like there's never been a year that like it's been so clear for them to get there. No disrespect to the, you know, the teams that are in it, but I feel like that this is a team that has the most experience. You know, Josh Allen's obviously been here so many times. I think Josh Allen puts his team on his back, and like much like we've seen Patrick Mahomes do in the years past, I think he puts his team on his back and carries him to the Super Bowl. And the NFC, I think it's a little bit more dicey, where I think it can kind of go a lot of different directions. I will say, I think the dark horse in the AFC is the Houston Texans because of how good that defense is. Mm-hmm. That defense has just been phenomenal all year, just shutting down pretty much everybody they face for the most part. And so I think they're kind of the dark horse. Like, this could very much be like a defensive type, you know, Super Bowl, you know, this year. But because like, I think on the NFC side, I think I could talk myself into the Eagles with their defense. You know, that if their offense can get things figured out. Seattle, like, we don't even talk about them, but obviously they're not playing this weekend. But Seattle's defense has been incredible all year too. And only thing that worries me with them is, like, I feel like Sam Darnold probably turns back into a pumpkin. You know, like, if they face this the wrong matchup, there's where Seattle would get knocked out. But I think it comes down to the Rams, the Eagles, and the NFC. I know the Rams are the real trendy pick. Everybody's picking the Rams. I think a Rams-Bills Super Bowl would be awesome. It'd be a lot of fun to watch.
Great.
But I'll go with the Bills and Eagles. I think
Bills Eagles. Okay. Yeah. I don't think there's any way McDermott comes back if they lose this game. If they could make it to the championship, but it's on a tough loss, it would be hard. But you know, it depends how it shapes out. But I think a wild card round for sure gets him out. Divisional round most likely puts him on the hot seat yet again for sure. Championship game might save him. And a Super Bowl loss, as painful as that would be for Buffalo Bills fans to endure. But I don't know how you fire a coach who goes to a Super Bowl. So, it'll be interesting for that. But, yeah, I'm excited for these games, though. I feel like it is wide open, and we're in for a fun treat. And, you know, DJ Nation fam, you guys got us. You got us all postseason long. So we're going to be breaking down the divisional round next week. As well as the championship weekend, the following, we love it from the standpoint of how many slates that we still get. And then we haven't talked about it yet, but we're going to break down Super Bowl showdown, or we'll leave it at championship week.
Yeah, we usually do the Super Bowl with all the stuff that's going on with it. And then, you know, even just this weekend, like I'll definitely going to play the 2-game slate on Saturday. I'm definitely going to play the 3-game slate on Sunday. And I'm also going to play all the showdown slates on the Saturday night game, the Sunday night game, and the Monday night game. Showdown has been really good to me this year. So I love playing showdown, and so I know we don't ever really talk about it, but showdown
definitely it's still like untapped, not untapped. I shouldn't say that, but like there's still a lot to uncover there with showdown at least from an NFL perspective. I feel like we definitely, you know, the main slate just gets so much love. But these showdown slates, you know, the more that, you know, people have gotten into a rhythm about how showdown is, you know, how showdown slates are put together and the strategy behind them and everything like that. And honestly, like we've gotten way more exciting island games to be able to play, you know, showdown. It used to kind of just be the afterthought because, you know, that Thursday game was kind of a throwaway. The Sunday night game was for sure a marquee and Monday night to a certain extent at the beginning of the season. But then as the season goes on and injuries, you never know what you're going to get. But as we get more like slates, like Black Friday slate and, you know, the Saturday football slates and things like that, some of the showdown games have been really more exciting. So that definitely might be one we have to explore, Kev, with the people.
Yeah, I mean, just over the last 3 weeks. You know, I've finished top five in three showdown slates. So I finished second in one, finished third in another. So like, yeah, like showdown's been good to me. And the other one I was on the short slate on a Saturday, two game slate that I got second in too. So yeah, it's been the short slates and the showdown slates have been really good to me. The main slate, not as much. I've had some good lineups, but nothing anywhere, you know, like a huge sweat. But it's all been come from showdown or the short slates.
All it takes is one, Kev, and that's why we do it. We love to be able to have an opportunity to do these sweats, and we hope that the DJ Nation fam has a couple. You will have a couple with the six gamer slate through 3 days, so you definitely have a lot more avenues to go. I definitely have seen the contest pools that Saturday. The Saturday contest pools are looking really enticing. So you know that DraftKings does this for a reason, or you know the other sites do it too for a reason, but. Definitely got to be locked in. Going to be a fun one. I'll be at that Green Bay Bears game, and probably my mood will have to be dependent on how that outcome shapes out. Could be one of the more, you know, it probably will go be a game for history one way or the other. But it could really be, you know, a solid one for us Bears fans here in Chicago to be able to add to the hopper. But digress. It's gonna be a fun slate. Wild card weekend. The wild card madness is just so much fun. This is the biggest slate that we're gonna have the whole rest of the year. So make sure you take advantage of it. Again, DJ Nation podcast, guys. We're powered by the Fantasy Authority at FF_Authority is where you can follow us on Twitter and X. For the Godfather himself, Kevin Steele at Fantasy Route 13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Myself, Ryan Williams, you can find me on Twitter and X at RyanAlexander_W. We'll catch you guys next weekend for the divisional round. Until then, you already know what to do. Get this money. Peace.
You know who you're talking to. Big man, I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.